Welcome to Remember Me by Intervivos, the show about living life to its fullest, leaving a legacy, and deciding how you will be remembered. And now, your humble team of expert planners, taking the legal world by storm.
Welcome to Remember Me. This is the show where we talk about leaving a legacy and planning how you'll be remembered. We have a special guest on today, and for those of you who joined us last week, we were talking about leaving a legacy through giving. A lot of people, you know, they get to the point where you're giving maybe to a church or a charity on a regular basis, and you're giving, you know, dollars today that maybe there's a tax deduction for, but you're doing it to, you know, promote good in the world. And then we were talking about stories of people who have really left quite a lot in some to establish a legacy of giving beyond their death. And that's what we're going to explore today, is what we call planned giving. Not just giving a donation, you know, in the moment, but also the possibility of being able to leave something in the future, or being more involved in the giving process. And so I have Mike Black here in the studio, and we also have our special guest, Reed Prine, who's one of the attorneys with Intervivos, and has some experience working with planned giving and with individuals who have engaged in planned giving. And so we're going to explore some of the strategies and some of the topics that kind of fall under this umbrella of planned giving. But Reed, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate you having me. Hello, everybody out there.
So just as a quick intro, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you got into the area of estate planning and, you know, business planning. So what have you enjoyed about working with clients that do plan?
So I've been an attorney for about 20 years, which is kind of remarkable when I think about it. It's like second decade. And both in California and in Utah. And for the better part of my practice, I've been involved in a lot of fairly contentious litigation. But when I switched over about 5 or 6 years ago towards the estate plan side of things, just found that it was so much more rewarding to work with clients and help them get their affairs in order. Send them away with peace of mind as opposed to a great deal of uncertainty. So it's been very good.
So Reed, we want to explore, you know, planned giving in the sense of, you know, one way to think about planned giving is as, you know, promoting good in the world. But another way to think about it is, and it's almost paradoxical, is the benefit that you get from planning around taxes and, you know, tax deductions and so on and so forth. How do you kind of balance that when you talk with clients or when people ask about it? Is that a conflict, or, you know, what do you think?
Oh, you know, I don't really see it as a conflict. I just think that there's a host of reasons why people who have either some degree of time and or money, resources, assets that they would like to others to enjoy the benefits of, whether it's during the donor's life or whether it's sometime after they pass away. I don't really see it as a conflict. I would say that one of the things that I'm kind of get out right up front is to have clients not be so focused on whether there's going to be some benefit for them tax-wise, and be more focused on the sort of what it actually feels like to do something productive for others. And in that regard, I really counsel clients to spend a little time, and perhaps sometimes more than a little, volunteering with whatever agency or whatever organization or group that they feel like they may want to commit some resources to, primarily because you don't want I don't want my clients to then look back and kind of wonder, scratch their head, or goodness, you know, be upset about the way their assets, their money, their resources that they're donating would actually be spent in a way that they wouldn't feel good about. So I think getting down, volunteering is really critical. In my mind, it's kind of almost the first step.
Being it's involved sort of, and yeah,
yeah. You know, like doing your due diligence essentially, but in doing it as a precursor to giving. So.
You know, you mentioned that you know people that want to have others enjoy, you know, the benefits of their life, you know, their assets or, you know, giving. And, you know, it's funny because it reminded me of somebody that barely graduated high school, never went to college, but he wants to set up a college fund so others can actually enjoy, you know, a better lifestyle through education.
But I think, you know, and we talked about this last week about, you know, all the good that's perpetuated in our country that the government isn't responsible for. It's private donors, you know, private right. organizations that do it. And also, you know, I think when there's something that you're passionate about that you want to perpetuate or that you want to, you know, contribute to, just like Reed was talking about, you want to be involved with it because that's where it goes from, you know, it might make sense on paper, but it doesn't really go to your heart until you're involved with it.
Involved, yes.
With
involvement makes a whole lot of
or whatever
difference.
It is.
We actually see people, you know, see the looks on people's faces when things might change based upon what it is that you're doing to, you know, help. So I really honestly just get back to feeling like before you're committing your resources, I think get out there and actually, you know, commit some of your time so that you make a better choice about what you're going to do with your resources.
So, you know, planned giving is a concept that a lot of people might not be familiar with. When it comes to planned giving, what are some examples of, you know, structured planned giving or more advanced strategies that you might recommend to clients? And kind of how do these take form? What are some of the options that are out there?
Yeah, there's basically like the way I like to conceptualize it is maybe there's three categories. There's the idea of sort of a future gift, which I'll circle back to in a minute, I guess. And then there's another example is sort of a periodic, for lack of a better term, programmed or pre-programmed a gifting during life, where it's perhaps a little bit hands-off. And then there's a third category also during life, obviously. Can really do this from the grave, where you are you can either create your own foundation or your own charity and have a good deal of control and direction and management of it, or you can, or you can at least direct the resources rather than actually the hands-on approach. So there's sort of three categories, if you will.
So when we come back from the break, we're going to explore those three categories and maybe get into some specific strategy options that might be available to people. But, you know, a lot of this type of planning does have significant tax benefits. And, you know, you mentioned future gifts. You can actually benefit from the tax side of things today, even though you're leaving something at some point in the future.
Agree.
And, you know,
I'd like to know how that happens.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. So if you're listening to this and you have a large estate or maybe you're just unhappy with how much you're paying in taxes, that's maybe one of the things to consider is, you know, planned giving, charitable giving, because it can help offset some of that burden. So, Reed, tell us before we break, how does somebody get a hold of you or of InterVivos to be able to pursue some of these strategies if they're interested?
So our firm has a web-based presence. So of course, anyone who's interested could just, you know, do the Google search if they would like to. InterVivos is spelled INTER space VIVIOS. Or just calling our office number 855-335-1060, I guess would be. So
one more time, 855-335-1060. And we'll be back in just a minute.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-892-2307 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-892-2307 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-892-2307 now and start learning to trade the right way. Call 855-892-2307. Prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help, so I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Weekday afternoons, rub shoulders with trusted voices of truth and insight. The American Mutsos Show with Eric Mutsos. The Reed Hour with Lawrence W. Reed. Loving Liberty with Brian Hyde. The Liberty Effect with Ammon Bundy. And Stranger Than Fiction with Ralph DeLugas. Right here on the Loving Liberty Radio Network.
Welcome back to Remember Me. I'm Glenn Wagstaff. I'm here in the studio with Mike Black, and we're talking about planned giving. We have a special guest, Reed Prine, who's here from InterVivos, and we're discussing strategies and options for people who want to give to charitable purposes or charitable works, and you know, just possible options that they have for planning around taxes and being able to benefit from that charitable intent that they have. So, Reed, before the break, you were telling us there's three kind of categories we're going to discuss today. And the first one is some future gift, right? So that may be an interest in property that you're leaving at some time in the future when it's sold or when you pass away. It may be something in their estate that they leave as part of a will or a trust, or it may be something else. But tell us about some of the strategies that you've seen in the past, and why might somebody consider giving future gifts to charity?
I guess one thing that stands out is that to me is that if somebody has a highly appreciated asset, a gift to charity will, you know, avoid, you know, long-term capital gains tax on the asset.
So you can avoid capital gains taxes on assets that would normally be subject to it if you give it to charity, but you know, what benefit does that have for the individual? I mean, if I just give everything to charity, but now I don't have it.
Right? True. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that, you know, the idea is that, are we talking about post-mortem here?
Well, so post-mortem, I guess.
I guess it's planned post-mortem.
Yeah, so you can leave something as part of your estate, and then, you know, maybe have a way to be able to you know, make that up through insurance or something for their heirs so that it replaces the value to the estate. But if I were to give something, you know, a future gift today and take the benefits for taxes, mm-hmm. do I miss out on everything? Or are there strategies to be able to benefit from it during my lifetime and then still take advantage of the deductions and the plan?
There are. Are there any specific ones that we should go into that you'd like me to? So, I mean, I guess that probably the most obvious one would be what's called a, you know, these are trust-based strategies. There's something called a charitable remainder trust, or you may, sometimes it's referred to as a charitable remainder uni trust, which is just a little bit of a sort of a tweak on the general charitable remainder trust. But the idea there is that there is...
So if you have a property, like a highly mm-hmm. appreciated asset, you put it into this charitable remainder trust, it's going to give me a deduction today.
Right.
But then what goes to the charity?
Oh, whatever's left in terms of, you know, and whatever's left in terms of the value after you pass away.
So after I die, whatever's yeah. left is going to be left to the charity. And in the meantime, maybe I live for 20 years.
You get a return on... getting a return on the investment. So
I get to keep the return that's whatever grows on it?
Yes.
So basically, this strategy is a charitable remainder trust. What I'm hearing is that, and of course, I've worked with clients that have done this before, right? So I'm just reiterating. But you can take a highly appreciated asset and you can put it into the structure, get tax benefits today, both tax deductions and avoid capital gains taxes.
Get the return.
And then you get to live off of the returns during your lifetime. And then whatever's left at the time of your passing is left to a charity.
That's correct. And the charity doesn't have to pay any gain, any tax on the gain.
So
that's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Yeah, because you get it now, the charity gets it later, and it's a really good thing.
Well, let's just give an example here. So you have a property that's worth $1 million, and let's say you bought it for $200,000. You'd have $800,000 of gains, and normally you'd be paying taxes, depending on what state you're in, pretty significant taxes on those gains, and you'd have that much less money to live on or to invest or to do something with.
And if you can find a way to make the property productive, or the trust can find a way to make the property productive during one's life, the grantor's life, then there you go. So that's the win-win, I guess.
And we've worked with, you know, financial professionals a lot of times that combine this strategy then with life insurance to replace mm-hmm. what would be left to the charity that your family's going to miss out on because now it's not part of your estate anymore. But now the life insurance can pay out to them to replace that value.
Right. You don't want to have mutiny in your family. You know,
charitable giving.
Take one of, you know.
Or be prepared for it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, speaking of property like that, could you develop that property and that would be part of the ROI?
Sure.
And yeah. then the remainder after you pass, that would go on to the charity, right?
That's right.
Okay. So it could actually develop. That would be, it would gain in value. So the charity would have more value. They wouldn't have to pay capital gains tax or anything like that on it, and then still you'd reap the benefit, they'd reap the benefit, and your kids would maybe reap the benefit.
Good example of rules that actually work to help everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, the charitable remainder trust is one example of future giving, you know, leaving a property subject to a life estate that you get to live in the property for the rest of your life, and then you leave it to a charity in the end. That's another example. There's probably more of these, but can you tell us what's the difference between, you know, there's also something called the charitable lead trust, and you were talking about pre-programming giving for the future, right? So what exactly does that mean, pre-programming giving, and how does it fit in as kind of maybe a contrast to the charitable remainder trust strategy or to a future giving strategy?
Good question. So the charitable lead trust, your estate would keep the would keep the principal, and it would generate the charity would actually benefit from the return on the the charity would actually get the return during your life, and then the principal, the asset itself, would be would be left to your, say, your perhaps your family, your estate, instead of the other way around.
So it's kind of the opposite of a charitable remainder trust.
Sort of a mirror. Yeah, right. It's like flip it. So
you, instead of you living off as a percentage of the growth or the interest every year, the charity's taking that.
Yes.
And does it have to be your whole life or?
No, these are flexible instruments, so changes can be made depending on life circumstances.
You structure it based on what you want to give and how you want to structure it. But then when I die, my family gets whatever's left.
That's right.
And then you still get those same benefits of avoiding capital gains and getting big tax deductions up front for doing the strategy.
Yay.
So why might somebody want to give, year after year to a charity instead of just saying, well, I don't need this during my lifetime, I'm going to leave it after I die? For some people, that might make more sense, but why would somebody actually want to give while they're alive?
I mean, I guess it just kind of gets back to the way, kind of where we started, which is just that it just feels good if you have the wherewithal to do.
So I'm a big believer that, the more involved you are in the giving process, the more fulfillment you get from it. And you were talking about, the third kind of strategy we're really going to kind of dive into here is doing your own charitable works through a foundation or through a charity that you establish, 501c3 or otherwise. Why might somebody pursue that? And do you have any maybe examples of why that's a good approach or why, clients have chosen to do that?
So, I'll say it this way, because the first, the first two categories that we talked about, I'm going to say that they're sort of asset and resource based. Everything's sort of inside, whereas this third category that we're looking at is sort of, looking outward. And so there are several different structures that are available to people that actually, whether they want to take an active role in seeking out charities that they want to benefit during
their
life.
So I think the active role is really the differentiator, right? Whether it's donor advised funds or a private foundation, if you're actively involved and you want to have that fulfillment of doing it, then that's where you choose that. So tell us, Reed, as we wrap up here, tell us one more time, how does somebody get a hold of you? Let's say that they're giving or they're doing charitable works and they want to benefit from these sort of strategies.
Well, ignore the terrible picture of me on the website and just call 855-335-1060 or, of course, www.intervivosplan.com. And that's about it.